Northeast England and northwest England, generally a dry and a bright start with some sunny spells. The sunshine will turn hazy and then cloud over in the afternoon as outbreaks of rain and drizzles spread erratically northwards. Parts of the far north may stay dry until quite late. Temperatures before the rain arrives 22 Celsius, where it's damp in the afternoon 17 or 18. For Northern Ireland, a sunny start, but clouding over in the afternoon. A little bit of rain is possible in the far south, 20 Celsius. And for Scotland, a dry and a bright day, bar a few showers in the northwest. In the sunny intervals, temperatures up to 21 Celsius. That's the forecast. It's back now to Howard Philpott.
Many thanks, Alex. Now on BBC Radio 4, our book of the week, The Pink Sari Revolution by Amana Fontanella Khan. Sampath Pal, vigilante group leader in lawless Uttar Pradesh, has taken up the fight for another woman who's been a victim of male injustice. She confronts the local police, demanding the release of Sheelu, a 17-year-old girl being held in custody and accused by a powerful politician of stealing two mobile phones, 200,000 rupees, and a rifle. Mira Sayal is the reader.
Just who do you think you are? Is a question that Sampath Pal is used to hearing. She does not know exactly why she has persistently felt compelled to get involved in other people's business. She once declared, "Not even I understand Sampath Pal." She paused, wrinkling her brow as she pondered the enigma. "When I die, the Indian government should look in my brain to find out how I have become like this." After a moment, she added, "They should look into my heart too. That could help." Her past offers few clues. Her hometown, Kaidi, is a small community in the heart of Bundelkhand, a place where injustice against women and the poor was an accepted part of life. Everyone stoically bore life's injustices without so much as a wince. If you could not, there was little hope of survival. Her parents were farmers. "We were all kind-hearted, huh? No one in my family treated women badly." It must have been evident to Sampath's mother early on that her daughter was not a typical girl. For one, she was the most outgoing of all the children in Kaidi and the most courageous, climbing tall trees as young as 5. Sampath also picked up skills very quickly. She was the first person in her town to learn how to sew. This would give her a great advantage in adulthood. It allowed her to be financially independent. More than sewing, however, it was Sampath's social consciousness that set her apart from all of the other people in her village. From her earliest days, she had always felt keenly the offence of injustice, even if it was a minor problem with a local bully. And now that she has grown up, the bullies she confronts are bigger and more powerful. On the morning of December the 14th, on her way to investigate the case against Sheelu, the young girl accused of stealing from the legislator, she set out to call on the most menacing of Goliaths, the police. The Uttar Pradesh police force is the largest in the world under a single command, and in the eyes of many, it is one of the largest criminal organisations too. Yet, despite this, the police in Uttara have a fearful respect for Sampath. This woman who barges into their stations and demands explanations for their actions like a headmistress in a misbehaving classroom. Sampath first made a name for herself and the Pink Gang at this very local station, causing the highest members of the country's political elite, the Gandhi dynasty, to sit up and take notice. 4 years earlier, she had been approached by a young mother with 8 children whose husband had suddenly been arrested for no reason. She marched down to the station with the crying woman, Sushila, in tow and approached the station office. "Why are you keeping her husband? You should charge him or let him go," Sampath snapped. The officer demanded to know who she was. "You don't know, what? I'm Sampath Pal, leader of the Pink Gang." The officer was not impressed. "Don't think I'm going to listen to you." "If you don't listen now, maybe you will when I bring back 100 women armed with sticks." "Bring, bring," he said, waving them away. Sampath went to see her gang. She told them Sushila's story. "This happened to her husband today, but it could be you next. That's why we have to teach them a lesson." The women nodded. Sampath told them to report to duty the next morning at 11 o'clock, wearing their pink saris and carrying their pink sticks. "That day, around 100 people gathered at my terrace," recalls Luckan, Sampath's landlord. In addition to the gang members, passers-by had crowded around to see what was going on, plus the journalists whom Sampath had called from TV and the newspapers. Sampath addressed the press corps.
"A man has been taken captive by the police with no charge filed against him."
And then, pointing,
"And this is his poor wife, Sushila."
She then led the crowd onto Pisanda Road, led by dozens of pink sari-wearing women.
"Down with the police!" Sampath yelled,
thrusting her fist into the air. The pink-clad women raised their hands in response.
"Let's make more pink gangs!" they shouted.
The TV cameras filmed it all. The women entered the police compound.
"OK, everyone!" Sampath shouted to her troops. "Don't be afraid!"
She walked across the veranda into the narrow, crowded office. She was followed by at least one cameraman and as many women as could fit into the room.
Sit down," she instructed,
and the women all squatted in the cramped office as Sampath lectured the officer.
"You've kept a poor woman's husband here all night. I'll take him with me today."
"By shouting in this manner, you are not going to achieve anything," said the officer.
"No? Then we'll shout more," Sampath said. "Raise your voices. We are all one. Strength in unity,"
she hollered to the women, and her chorus of chanters responded, raising their fists and joining in her rallying cries.
"Come this side and don't cause any drama," said the exasperated officer, keenly aware of the camera pointed at him, and motioned Sampath towards him.
She thought she heard the policeman mumble under his breath, "Haramzadi," which means bastard. Sampath's eyes grew wild.
"You call me Haramzadi? Have you gone mad?" she shouted, her voice breaking.
Whipping around to face the women, she repeated,
"He called me Haramzadi!"
That was when all order in the police station broke down. Sampath took a large folder she was carrying and brought it crashing down on the officer's head with a smack. Then she raised a stick high above her head like an axe-bearing woodcutter about to reduce a lone tree stump to firewood.
Hey,
the policeman cried, leaping up from his seat. The crowd started cheering and hooting. Nothing like this had ever happened before. People were watching from outside, maybe 500 people in the road now. In the melee inside, Sampath, her hair flying wildly, issued commands to the women.
"Tie him up!" Sampath shouted to Sushila. "Tie him up!"
Sushila summoned up her courage and crept around the desk towards the officer.
"Get away!" he barked.
Outside, the crowd went wild.
"The pink gang has tied up the sub-inspector with a rope!"
Then the provincial constabulary arrived and decided on the spot that because of the growing mob, it would be unwise to arrest any of the women. It would be a worsening of the law and order situation, as they later wrote in an incident report. This highly publicised encounter with the police could have spelled the end for the pink gang, but instead, Sampath was applauded by politicians, journalists and large portions of society. Dr. Bula Pandey, the secretary of the All India Congress Committee, got in touch with Sampath shortly after her confrontation with the Atara police.
"He wanted to know who that woman was who dared beat a policeman," Sampath says. "He told me they liked my work."
Pandey invited her to local Congress party events and ensured she was part of a large delegation of social workers invited to meet Sonia Gandhi, the president of the Indian National Congress, at her house. All of this went before her as she arrived at the Atara police station that morning of December the 14th, 2010. She walked in like it was her own house and went straight for an officer called Rajendra Yadav. In his past dealings, he had proved to be relatively helpful. She got straight to the point.
"What's this story about the legislator?" she asked. "Have you found the stolen objects? The rifle? The mobile phones?"
He hesitated before answering and finally said it was Shukla, the sub-inspector, she needed to speak to, raising his eyebrows as he spoke the name. He knew that it was an understatement to say that Sampath and Shukla were not on good terms. She had worked against him in uncovering a corrupt ration scheme he was involved in some years previously, and he had been frustrated many times in his attempts to curb her activism. Shukla told Sampath imperiously that he had no time for her.
"I am busy," he said, showing her the door.
"You can send me away, but you listen to me. I'll come back," she warned, slamming the door behind her.
She marched back into Yadav's office, demanding answers, pressing him for some details, which she finally got.
"He told me quietly that the theft charge is false, that Shukla is just following orders. He said there were much bigger forces at play. Sampath, I can't interfere. They will fire me if I go against them." And he added, "No police officer will help that girl, huh? If anyone can do anything, it is you."
She shook her head in disappointment.
"There is no courage in you."
And she marched out. She would not let herself be intimidated by any politician. Those from Uttar Pradesh are widely reputed to be gangsters, surrounded by a coterie of gun-toting muscle men who drive through their constituencies and fire shots in the air after election victories, often leading to casualties and deaths of passers-by.
"A legislator is the biggest goon with the most money. No one is more powerful than him. Second to him is Sonia Gandhi or the central government," Sampath once said. Many would agree with her.
Things came to a head between 2002 and 2007, the period in which Sampath formed the Pink Gang. This was a dark era in the region, referred to now as the Gunda Raj, or the rule of the gangsters. One of the main reasons why many voters in the world's largest democracy allowed hoodlums into power is that they thought they would be more secure if a don were ruling over them. Another was corruption.
"A good person never wins here," Sampath laments. "People are fools. They just want money and alcohol. Politicians give them these things in exchange for votes. This is the kind of public we have."
Sampath had, in the past, taken on Gunda politicians more powerful than Dwivedi. In 2007, she had even run against one in local elections. Word had spread that Piyadia Patel, the mother of Tokia, a feared bandit, would be running for a seat in the state legislature. It was evident to all that she was just a dummy candidate, and it was her son who would be in power if she won.
"In the villages, he threatened that if his mother did not win the election, he would kill people and burn their houses."
His mother was running on an election slogan, which was an unveiled threat.
"If you want to live in peace, vote National People's Party."
Sampath's Pink Gang members had alerted her to the abuses of the villagers by the bandits. One member, Munni, came to her in tears. The bandit leader's men were abducting her son every morning and forcing him to canvass for the bandit's mother. Sampath, along with her local Pink Gang members, went home with her to investigate.
"I asked the people in the village why they were so scared. They said, 'We live in the jungle and Tokia can do anything during the night. The police don't come here and nobody takes care of us. That is why we are so scared.'"
After this visit, Sampath decided to run as an independent candidate.
"I called all the women together and held a meeting and told them we cannot let the goons win."
Of course, she did not expect to win, but rather hoped to split the vote enough to prevent her rival from winning. In the end, neither she nor the bandit's mother won. Sampath's opponent came in second to Dwivedi, and she only polled about 3,000 votes herself.
"I considered that I won. Tokia's loss was my victory. I was clapping when Dwivedi won. Everyone was happy."
Now she looks back on those celebrations with regret.
"There is no difference between him and the bandit. If anything, Dwivedi is worse."
Vera Sayal was reading from The Pink Sari Revolution by Amana Fontanella Khan. The book is abridged by Eileen Horn, produced by Clive Brill, and is a Pacificus production for BBC Radio 4. The shipping forecast follows in a minute. Between now and then, we're sailing by. BBC Radio 4. Now, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Wednesday the 31st of July. There are warnings of gales in Trafalgar. The general synopsis at 1800. Low 300 miles west of Fitzroy, 1005. Expected southwest Shannon, 1001 by 1800 Wednesday. Low Fair Isle, 1002, losing its identity. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking, north at Cira, south at Cira. Westerly or southwesterly, 4 or 5. Showers, moderate or good. Forties, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger. Westerly or southwesterly, backing southeasterly later, 3 or 4, occasionally 5. Showers, rain in Tyne and Dogger later. Moderate or good, occasionally poor later. Fisher, west or southwest, 4.